Do you see very many other nonprofits? And maybe a second part of that question would be, are any of them serving the agents?
The answer to that is no and no. Never have I seen another nonprofit down here working with the border agents, and I've never seen anyone, I don't know of anyone that is doing anything like what we're doing.
Welcome to Hey Chaplain. My name is Jared Altick, and I'm a chaplain with the police department. This podcast exists so that cops can hear encouragement for the tough work that they do. It's my mission to bring encouragement and wisdom to police officers all around the world, mostly by interviewing other cops. On this podcast, you'll hear from detectives and dispatchers, U.S. Marshals and county sheriffs, and the occasional crime scene investigator. From the LAPD to Scotland Yard, the guests on Hey Chaplain are giving you the wisdom gleaned from their experience so that you don't have to do everything the hard way. Today, we have the return of another fan favorite, Ginger Passarelli of the Soup Ladies. For the last couple of years, she's been working with the Border Patrol, which is no small feat to bring a nonprofit organization into the inner workings of a federal agency. In this part of the interview, Ginger talks specifically about her work to help encourage the Border Patrol agents with love and good food. Ginger called me from an undisclosed border station on the southern border after a long day of cooking for the agents there. Here's Ginger Passarelli. Hello, Ginger. How are you today?
I'm good. So nice to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah, a little bit, but you've been busy.
Oh, we have been very, very busy. You know, the Soup Ladies, we deploy anywhere we're called, but the border's been a particularly heartfelt response.
So in the last maybe year or two, what kind of places has Soup Ladies responded to? Because originally there were a lot of like forest fires and things like that.
Well, the last couple years have actually been quite busy. We've been to Memphis, Nashville, natural disasters. We hardly ever go to a natural disaster anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's so many shootings and crime, you know, large-scale crime happening. Mm-hmm. And that's usually when we get called out.
This interaction you've had, this partnership you've had with the Border Patrol, what can you tell me about that?
I had a very vivid dream one night about Customs and Border Patrol. And it was like, these people need us. And so I just started calling up Border Patrol stations and saying, hey, my name is Ginger and I cook and we're the Soup Ladies. And they're kind of like, yeah, so. And so I started calling members of Congress. I called senators. And moving to Idaho about 2 years ago, I contacted my senator, and his office got me all of the information with the rules and regulations and what we can do and what we cannot do working with federal agents. And we were able to, from that point, get our very first invitation to the southern border, to the Border Patrol, one of the sector offices. And we went there and we cooked, and people would come into a break room because we would make a field kitchen, and they would come in and not really knowing what it was that we were doing, but that smelled like good food cooking. So they follow right. Their noses into the kitchen, and we'd say, well, we're cooking for you. We love you. We just want you to know that somebody sees you. We love you. We care about you. And they've kind of not been treated real well. And so we go give them a hug, give them a good meal, and let them know that they're not alone in this, that they're loved, that they're cared for. And I feel so privileged we get to do that.
So when you say we, how many people are involved in a typical Soup Ladies deployment?
We usually have at least three people on a team, and sometimes four. It's easiest to house three or four people. And then we're actually at the southern border right now as we speak. And we are in Texas, and this is our 10th trip to the southern border. When we go to one place, we say, can you help us get an invitation? Because we can't go without an invitation. So somebody at the particular office that we would be at will help us get an invitation to the next sector over. So we've been to California, we've been to New Mexico, and we've been to Texas. And we are far from hitting all of the border stations. There's so many more to go.
Do you see very many other nonprofits? And maybe a second part of that question would be, are any of them serving the agents?
The answer to that is no and no. Never have I seen another nonprofit down here working with the border agents. And I've never seen anyone, I don't know of anyone that is doing anything like what we're doing. We've gone to a lot of trouble over the last few years, well, since we've been operating, so more than a few years. Soup Ladies have been doing this for 20 years, and all of our Soup Ladies have incident command training through FEMA. We're all background checked. Many of us have to also do fingerprints every year at least, and with all the different agencies that we work with, some of them require really extensive background checks. We're vetted, very highly vetted, because we're going into very secure areas, and for them to know for sure we're okay, it's really, to me, it's an honor and a privilege to be trusted to that level. So we use butane burners. So we travel with our soup pots and the butane burners. Obviously, we can't take butane on airplanes. So we have what we call body bags, and they have four soup pots and a burner or two in the bag. And once we get there, we set up these portable burners. Like when you go to the Holiday Inn and they cook you breakfast, little omelets, they have a little burner. There's those kind of burners. And we use 20-quart soup pots, and we make 5 gallons at a time. So we may have, like tomorrow, we have an extra busy day, so we'll be cooking 6 or 7 pots. So that's 35 gallons of soup to feed the folks. Oh yeah, we're not little.
How many agents are coming through in a shift? And then how are there other people? Are there clerical workers or other agencies, or is it just Border Patrol agents?
Good news travels fast. So when we hit a station, we had people from the sheriff's office, we had the police department, people from the shop that were working on the trucks. Everybody comes into the building, word spreads, and when there's food. And the beauty of this is there is no charge to any agency ever. We just go in, we cook them fabulous food, we hug them and love them, and it costs nothing to hug them. And because we have really generous supporters, we are able to continue this 10 trips to the border. I live in Idaho, our other two ladies that are here from Washington, and we all pay our own way. We get down here, we work our tails off, we're on our feet all day, and we just get to meet the most wonderful people. And they're so grateful. You guys are just cooking for us? You came all this way to cook for us? 2,000 miles to cook for them.
That's incredible.
I love it.
That's meaningful beyond just filling their stomachs.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's an act of service. And, you know, I've had so many people say, oh, I wish I could do what you do. Well, do what God calls you to do. Find one thing that you love to do and find a way to serve people doing that thing, whatever it is. Who ever heard of going and cooking for first responders? Who ever heard of that? I've never heard of it. That's all we do.
Well, it's a great ministry. Tell me a little bit more. When you go on these trips, how long can you deploy for? Is there like a law of diminishing returns where you just can only go so many days before you have to take a break?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we're down here for, I think, 9 or 10 days, and we'll work tomorrow, so that'll be 3 days cooking. So when we put out hundreds of meals each of those days, this trip is a little bit longer because we're serving more of the outlying stations, so we planned on staying a little longer. So we're taking a day off on Tuesday. We'll be doing something special on Tuesday because that's kind of our day off. And but we can't go at this pace. A lot of us who do this, you know, come on these trips are retired. You know, I'm on my 70th trip around the sun. So, I mean, I'm not as young as I used to be.
So, what's the shortest trip you've taken?
If we go, we usually go for at least a week. A week is okay. Our limit. This one, because we had so many stations to feed in this sector, that we built a couple of extra days in to accommodate that. Being a chaplain, I'm really careful about everything that I say, and I have been told some pretty horrific things, and there have been, I don't think people realize the crisis that is happening in our country right now on our borders, and us just showing up, even if we're at one station and we're cooking for these people, the word of encouragement is spread to other stations. These ladies came all the way from Idaho and from Washington just to cook for us, you know, and we try and hook up with each of these places they may be talking to. We want to encourage them, but I will tell you that they need our love. They need our attention. They need to know that we see them. And I know that people, you know, like I, every time I see a police officer, I always stop and say, thank you for what you do. These guys don't get that as much, right, that I can see. And, you know, I've been around a lot of police agencies in the last 20 years. They just need to know, you know, even if somebody was to write a letter to a border station that's near their home, or, I mean, you can just Google it and find an address of a border station. If somebody took the time to write a note or send a card and say, thank you for doing what you do, we appreciate that, you know, and I always say this, I appreciate that I can sleep in my bed at night and feel a little bit safer because of the job that you do. Mm-hmm. It's important to me because they're protecting me and my family. And, you know, I'm a cop mom, too. When I hear officer-involved shooting in a certain location, and it's like, that's my child until I know different.
Yeah,
that's my mom heart.
Have you had any negative pushback on the fact that you're supporting Border Patrol? I know that that can be a politically contentious issue, at least for some people. Have you had any negative pushback?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We've had a lot. And that's why we've been very, very quiet in the last year and a half or 2 years. Maybe it's been 2 years now. We have been very quiet about where we're at. We don't tell anybody where we're going. We might tell people after we get back that we were in this station or this sector or whatever, but we don't let people know for our own safety, because we have had people who don't support them, and who knows, people do a lot of crazy stuff these days, and I don't want to be in the middle of it.
This interview, just for your own peace of mind, this interview won't publish for at least a week, maybe 2 weeks. So you'll be home before this publishes.
You know, I know you understand safety. I appreciate that. And as chaplains, and you know this, you're a chaplain. When you go on scene, or, you know, you're there with your people, you do eye checks. Mm-hmm. I can look at somebody and I immediately know when they're not doing very good, or they're struggling, or this one hit them hard. I do eye checks on these folks. You know, I'll kind of follow one out. You know, somebody grabs some soup and they'll wander off, and I wander behind them and I'll say, "Hey, got a minute? Yeah. How's everything going? Are you doing okay?" "Well, you know," then they start telling you stuff. And, you know, "I'm a gray-haired grandma. I've got 11 grandkids, and I'm kind of safe. You know, I'm just a mom, you know." Yeah. And I've heard some chaplains, you know, they'll say, "How are you doing?" You know, and some guys, I just like, "Well, I'm not going to tell this guy my problems. I'll tell this gray-haired lady, so I'll talk to her." Right. So, yeah. I mean, I always have good response. Border Patrol folks are on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I think as chaplains, if you're involved in law enforcement or fire department or any kind of first responder agency as a chaplain, spending time with those people is the most important thing. When they know you and they've seen you and you're consistent and you show up every time, that's when they're going to talk to you. That's when they're going to trust you. Yep. It isn't just out of the gate and, "Oh, they're a chaplain, we can tell them anything." Nope.
No, no.
First responders are not like that. They're a different breed. Food tends to break down the walls way faster than any other thing I've ever seen. Like today we made chicken enchilada soup, and, you know, we tore up corn tortillas and put in it and put piles of cheese on it and served it. And then we made, tomorrow we're going to do a loaded baked potato soup. And, you know, I mean, we put 5 pounds of chopped bacon in a pot of soup. And when those guys and gals come in to get something to eat, that may be the last meal they're going to get for 12 hours. You have to make it count.
Certainly the best meal they'll have. I've seen some of the snacks that cops carry with them. It's not the healthiest stuff. And so,
well, yeah. And our soups are, you know, good and homemade. They're high carb, high protein. They, you know, because they need that for sustaining them and, you know, being sharp minded and stuff, thinking well. The first time we ever walked into a border station, it was every hallway, every doorway, they all looked alike. It was office after office after office. And then we get to the break room, and there's government posters on the walls, you know, and I don't expect them to be working in a home environment because that isn't home.
Right.
That's their job. But that kitchen is ours as long as we are there. We kind of do a little sweet takeover.
Right,
of that room.
It's not a hostile takeover. It's a friendly takeover. Right.
It's not a hostile takeover. It's just a nice little takeover. That's our space while we are there. And everything has been so respectful. And whenever I need anything, I can just poke my head out in the hallway and I'll see somebody walking down a hallway and I'll say, "Hey, could I borrow you for a minute?" And they come over and they go, "What you need?" And I say, "Well, could you lift this for me and put it over here?" And our soup pots weigh almost 50 pounds.
Oh, sure.
When they're full of food. And so I can't lift it. It's just too heavy. And so I grab people and they're always ready to help. And this one guy, you know, I just grabbed him. I didn't know who he was, you know, and so he picked, "Oh, sure, I'll help you." And he lifted and put it where I told him. And I said, "Do you want some soup?" And he goes, "Sure." And so he took some and left. And somebody goes, "Do you know who that is?" And I said, "Not really." And it was like the commander or something like that. Oh. Or somebody, you know, I mean, I'm sure he has people to do stuff for him. But
yeah.
But I do
some special agent in charge. And you've got him moving soup, right?
Right. And you know, and that's happened so many times because when I need somebody, I need whoever's standing in front of me. And so I just grab them and stuff, but they have to know that, they're loved and appreciated just as much, you know, whether it's a command staff or whether it's boots on the ground, they all need to know that they are loved and cared for. And they're always helpful. You know, if you ask them to do something, they're always helpful. They're always ready and willing to serve. What amazing people they are.
How are border agents the same as other first responders? And how are they different?
Border agents are, they're law enforcement. And they have a certain way that, you know, if you've been around police officers or U.S. Marshals or FBI, they have a certain way that they carry themselves, and the Border Patrol is no different. They're law enforcement, and they just want to go home at the end of their shift. And isn't that the goal of every law enforcement agency? Everybody goes home. One of the things that I've seen in the last year or two is an emphasis on peer support and training more chaplains. Because when I first went down here like 2 years ago, I never met the first year, I don't think I met a single chaplain. Hmm. And now I'm meeting way more chaplains. It's been fantastic.
So are their chaplains all federal agents or?
Yes, or they have to be an agent to be a chaplain. So this is, they do their job and then they do their chaplain work. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of double duty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they have to be agents to be chaplains.
In preparation for this, I did a bunch of research, did a lot of reading. They talked about the moral injury that they have because especially the human trafficking and the way that the cartels will traffic groups of people who want asylum or they want to make an asylum claim. And then that provides cover for other groups to come in that maybe don't want to get caught. So you have the groups that want to get caught, and you have the groups that don't want to get caught. And the cartels are orchestrating this pretty masterfully, including, you know, taking people who've been emptied out of jails in Venezuela, you know, and places like that, you know, and Africa and other places. I mean, all around the world, China. And they are moving these people through. Some of them are criminally insane. Some of them are just desperate people that maybe don't have an asylum, like a legitimate asylum claim, but they are certainly in need and they're desperate and they've spent every last dollar to get this far. That has an effect on these agents.
Yes, it does.
Can you speak to that just in what you have seen?
You know, they have helicopters that fly over and they spot things and you know, they had to go and pick up a four-year-old who died of dehydration and exposure. You know, and when you have to pick up a dead four-year-old, how can that not affect you?
So an agent in a vehicle got directed by helicopter to go find the body of this four-year-old?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. Yes. So how can that not affect you? But that's what our law enforcement does every day. For us.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They see the worst of human tragedy and are expected to operate, you know, perfectly and then not be affected at the end of the day. And that's a tall order.
Yes, it is. When we were in one of the sectors, and they always assign someone to us because we're not supposed to wander around in the building by ourselves. We're supposed to be escorted. And they always assign someone to us. And I know that takes away from their job that they're supposed to be doing. And for them to let us in it puts a strain on their resource, you know, because we call them our handler. And so we have our handler, and we were talking, and I said, well, do you go to church around here? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, you know, we're taking Sunday off. Could we go to church with you? And he goes, yeah, I'd love that. And so we went to church with him and we got to meet his family and got to meet his pastor, got to meet some of his friends at church. And there was a bunch of other agents who went to the same church and stuff. And it was like, and they were like surprised because "Oh, you're the soup lady. You're cooking for us this week." You know, yeah, we are. You know, but you know, we wanted to take a day and go to church, and it was very cool. It was very cool. And the next day, when we were back cooking, they, you know, a couple of the guys came up and gave me a hug and said, "Oh, it was so nice to see you at church yesterday. I'm so glad you came. How'd you like it?" And I loved it. I thought it was a great church. So, you know, just, you know, involve yourself in people's lives and just walk with them.
Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, I do. Well, we all have our favorites, and actually she is a favorite. There's one gal, and I saw her, and it was actually, we met her on our very first trip to the border, and she and I talked, and she was talking about, "Oh, you guys are a nonprofit, and you just feed first responders? That's amazing." And you know, she was so interested. And then, you know, we find out about her kids and her grandkids and her, you know, how hard she works. And then the next time we went down there, we were at a station that was, you know, 30, 40 miles away from her. And I called her up and I said, "Hey, we're going to be down at so-and-so. I know you're not too far from there. Maybe we could meet." And so, you know, we met her for brunch just got together and spent time. And then the next time we were down in the area, you know, I said, "Just to let you know, we're, you know, going to be in blah, blah, blah." And she goes, "Oh, I won't be in town this time." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll always call you when we get there." And she has an open invitation for my place too. Anytime she wants to come to my house, she's welcome to do that too. And then the next time we were down in that area, you know, that wasn't too far away, we said, "Oh, we're in town again." And she goes, "Great." And so, you know, we had lunch together and, you know, just, she's one of my favorites. And
yeah,
it's a hard job. And she was expressing to me how sometimes, you know, when she was detaining someone, they would get blowback from these people that they're trying to stop from entering the country. She said, and this kind of broke my heart. These people would say, "Well, you're one of us. Why are you hauling us away?" Just because she's the same race as they are. Mm. You know, she's doing her job. She's an American. She loves our country. And she's protecting our country. And yeah, you know, that to me, that was kind of a low blow, you know, just saying something like that, because she's not breaking the law. The minute you cross into the country, you're breaking the law.
So how does it make you feel when the Customs and Border Patrol are accused of being racist, or they're Nazis, or whatever other kind of disparaging comments are made about them? As if it's some unusually bad thing that only happens in America, that we guard our borders. How does that make you feel?
Well, every single agent, and I can say this without exception, and same thing with, you know, every single police officer I have ever met, I would trust with my life. Same thing with these border agents. You know, I know there's bad apples in every group. Okay, whether it's police, fire, you know, nurses, whatever, there's bad apples always. But every single person that I have met has been upright and has integrity and loves the job that they do and are good at it. They have a job to do, and they got into it because they felt like this is what they were called to do. I kind of get my hackles up sometimes because people will say, "Oh, those Border Patrol agents are all a bunch of bigots, racists." And I'm thinking, I don't know who you're talking about. The ones I've met aren't that way at all. You know, I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody to protect them.
And you know what you're talking about because you've actually been there and you've actually met them.
Absolutely. I've met a lot of them. You know, people... Well, my little fiery Italian side comes out, you know, and it's like when I get a little ruffled, it just I don't like it when people say things about other people that are not true.
Yeah.
And I think we should all be that way. We don't let people get away with saying bad things about people that are not true.
I feel the same way, because I hear people say the worst things about cops, and they're typically describing like the one in 10,000 that is truly a bad character, who almost certainly got fired or even jailed for what they did. And they act as if that's how all cops are. And I meet hundreds of police officers that are the polar opposite. They're the nicest, most genuine, helpful people that just want to serve their community. And it's like, I'm constantly, I think you said you had your hackles up. I feel the same way. I'm angered by people who stereotype a cop based on maybe one bad experience they had, or worse, just what they've seen in the movies. And they think that describes cops. And I'm like, you just don't know. You just need to go meet police officers, because you obviously don't know what you're talking about. Gentry, thank you so much for doing this interview. I really appreciate you taking the time, especially while you're on the border. I appreciate you taking the time out at the end of a long day to talk to me.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to talk with you. And I'm so honored and blessed to be able to be where I'm at on the border, feeding the border agents. But I'm also blessed that there's other people that might want to know about what we do and how to do it. And if they want to give me a call, I'd be glad to help them do something about that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Ginger and her teams of soup ladies are truly unique. But they don't have to be. Ginger has learned a lot, both as a chaplain and running this nonprofit, and the rest of us could learn a lot from her. So I'm going to take another portion of this interview and release it as a part two. We'll talk about why and how to serve first responders, and a little bit more about what makes the Soup Ladies special. Here's a little bit of that episode.
All of our soup ladies have to have incident command training through FEMA. We have to know how an incident is set up so that we know our place. We're always in logistics. So when you're working with government agencies, I always tell people, if FEMA tells you you need to learn to quack like a duck, you better go learn to quack like a duck. You need to know what they think, how they operate, and it's not all about you.
This show is commercial free because listeners who want to encourage cops buy me a $5 virtual coffee at buymeacoffee.com/heychaplain. That link is in the show notes. Your generosity makes it possible for police officers to hear something positive. The views expressed here are the personal views of the host and our guests and do not necessarily represent the views of any law enforcement agency or its components. If you like this episode, please share it with a cop or someone who loves a cop. Thank you for listening to Hey Chaplain, and as always, pray for peace in our city.